chains of sin, longing for release. Who will share the gospel now and bring them peace? I will go, I must obey, for Jesus is the answer. I know he's the way. He calls me now, his voice I know. While there are lost who need to hear, I will go. Hear people crying, see the hurt in every face, finding only empty things in their downward race. How will people hear? Who will point the way? Who will take the love of Christ and go today? Jesus is the answer. I know he's the way. He calls me now, his voice I know. While there are lost who need to hear, I will go.
Well, it's an honor to have Brother Board with us. I've told a lot of pastors about Brother Board and the ministry that God has given to him. And as he comes, it still amazes me some of the things that God is doing through his ministry. Brother Board is a very unusual missionary in that he communicates with you. That's one of your hallmarks, brother. I'm really excited about that. In fact, you write so much I can't keep up with it all. And that's unlike many missionaries. And I thank you for that, brother. You are very faithful about writing and sending videos and letters. And just, you let us know what we're investing in. And that means a great deal to us as a church. And we thank you for that. But also, he has a great family. They're good people. He's served with Brother Esposito in Long Beach. And he has a good report to tell us about that. And so we're just delighted to have him here. He's working with Brother Esposito as well. Johnny, the older brother. Actually, he's not the older. Is he the older? I think he is the older, isn't he? Yeah. And so there's Joe and Johnny. And Joe is the one that had the problem. And he has a report on that. And Johnny's working with him there in Cambodia. And so it's just exciting just investing in that part of the world. And, brother, why don't you come and share what God's laid on your heart. We're just delighted you're here tonight.
We're letting out at 6, correct? 6 o'clock. Yeah. I always want to be clear, because in Cambodia, I preach for an hour and 15 minutes. But I promise not to do that tonight, all right? We're going to try to see. A lot of bright lights up here. Not used to that either. But everyone doing okay this evening? Okay, good. Good to be here. We do enjoy keeping in touch with folks back here in America, and there's one reason why we write the blog and do the videos. That's because we hope as you read those blogs and you watch the videos, you'll be challenged to pray. Pray for your missionaries around the world. And then furthermore, you'll be challenged to do what you're supposed to be doing right here at home. You see, realize this, we're simply an extension of Calvary Baptist Church. And what are we doing over there? We're doing the same thing that you're doing here. By God's grace, you're seeing folks saved, baptized, people's lives being transformed by the gospel. And that's what God's doing there through our ministries there in Cambodia. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to watch a video And a little over 4 years ago, the Lord allowed us to start Pacific Baptist Church of Phnom Penh. And so this kind of gives you a little bit of a summary of some of the things that have happened through that church. And that continues to grow. And I could stand up here for hours and tell you different things that are on our plans for the next few years and whatnot. But we look forward to keeping in touch with you. Perhaps while we're here, if there's some of you that would like to be added onto our email list, and if your preacher says it's okay, we'd love to be able to send our emails out to you as well, because it's interesting and it's good for you to know where your money's being invested. All right? So if our sound guys can get this going, we're going to go ahead and watch this video right now.
From 1975 to 1979, one of the world's most disturbing and hate-filled regimes wreaked havoc in Cambodia under the direct leadership of Pol Pot and his Khmer Rouge soldiers. It is estimated that during those 4 years, nearly one-third of the population of Cambodia was exterminated through starvation, overwork, torture, and other brutal methods of murder. Few other countries in the history of mankind have suffered an extermination on a scale equal to that of Cambodia. In 1979, the Vietnamese communists invaded Cambodia, driving the Khmer Rouge out of power and deep into the jungle. Though not as fierce as the Khmer Rouge, the Vietnamese communists occupied this small Southeast Asian country, and for the next 10 years, Cambodia found herself living under the tyranny of an oppressive communist government. It was during this time that approximately 150,000 Cambodians were brought to the United States as refugees. God worked in the heart of my pastor, a former missionary to the Philippines, to start a ministry reaching out to Southeast Asian refugees who had resettled in the United States. Beginning in 1984, I had the opportunity to learn the Khmer language and culture through running a bus route in the inner city of Des Moines, Iowa. Each week, we were privileged to reach out to more than 100 Cambodian, Laotian, and Vietnamese adults and children. The practical ministry experience that we gained over the next 6 years would later be used by God to see even more Cambodians reached with the gospel as He opened the door for us to serve in the ministry full-time. In 1990, we left Des Moines, Iowa, and began serving as home missionaries to the Cambodian people in Long Beach, California, where we served alongside of Pastor Joe Esposito, the founding pastor of Pacific Baptist Church. At that time, the Los Angeles area had nearly 80,000 Cambodians. The Lord allowed us to help start and lead the Cambodian-speaking congregation and to see scores of Cambodian adults and young people come to Christ during the 15 years that we served in Long Beach. In 2005, the Lord opened the door for us to relocate to Cambodia, where we were immediately able to begin winning the lost to Christ. Since that time, we have seen many other families respond to God's leading in their lives and be sent out by Pacific Baptist Church as missionaries to Southeast Asia. At the present time, we have 11 other families who are serving in the countries of Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand. We thank the Lord for the great team of co-laborers that God has allowed us to help lead. Cambodia is a country that has been under the control of the God of this world for thousands of years. Theravada Buddhism continues to be the national religion of Cambodia, with 95% of the people claiming it as their religion of choice. It is their hope that through doing good works, such as giving money and food to the monks, as well as going to the temple and performing certain rituals, they might be able to escape the cycle of reincarnation which they believe awaits them in their afterlife. Though the icons of Hinduism and Buddhism are all around, the true religion of most Cambodians is that of animism and ancestral worship. Though most Cambodians are forced to survive on just a few dollars a day, they always find the money necessary to offer sacrifices to the spirits of their dead relatives. This particular ceremony is perhaps the biggest stronghold that prevents most Cambodians from becoming a Christian. It is believed that the spirits of their dead relatives, who are in hell, are released once a year in order to return to the earth in search of food. They believe that if the spirit of their loved one does not find food, then they will search out the living relatives and cause them great harm. Islam is practiced by an ethnic minority group in Cambodia known as the Jam. There are 378 Jam villages in Cambodia, and the Jam are considered to be an unreached people group. Outside of the Jam folks that God has allowed our ministry to reach with the gospel, there are few, if any, Christians in the Jam community. The Jam claim allegiance to their God Allah, yet live in constant fear of the devil and demons. The mother of one of our faithful Christian men is a popular witch doctor in the Jam community. Though she has visited our church on several occasions and been witnessed to many times, she still remains a slave of the devil, unwilling to turn to Jesus for spiritual freedom. In this video, she is officiating over a ceremony, and she has been hired by some people in the village to sacrifice a buffalo to the devil and hope that their sick family members will be healed. The majority of those that you see participating in this ceremony are demon-possessed and are supposedly able to communicate with the dead. It is estimated that 2% of Cambodians are Christians. However, this number includes Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and various denominations that teach the false doctrine of baptismal regeneration. It is a rare thing to meet someone here in Cambodia who claims to be a Christian, but who is not part of a church that has not been heavily influenced by the charismatic movement. Sadly, many of those who are drawn into these types of churches have never one time heard the plan of salvation, and for the most part seem to be inoculated from the gospel as it is found in the Word of God. Four years ago, God allowed our family to start Pacific Baptist Church of Phnom Penh. From the very first Sunday, it seemed as though He was blessing as we shared the good news of salvation with folks in our neighborhood. We started out with Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening services as we encouraged the new believers to be fully committed to the Lord and to His Word. Just 1 month after starting the church, we began Pacific Baptist Bible Institute with the goal of equipping the national believers with the knowledge and skills that they need to walk with the Lord for themselves and to win souls. The Institute now has approximately 35 students from our church who are not only studying the Word of God, but who are also putting it into practice in their daily lives. In 2011, we started the Phnom Penh Children's Ministry. Since then, we have seen many children come to know the Lord and learn how to live a life that is pleasing to Him. The children's ministry is now totally run by the nationals and reaches out to an average of 400 to 500 children per week in Phnom Penh, as well as several different villages within a 40-mile radius of Phnom Penh. As we look to the days ahead, our team has several ministry goals that we believe will help strengthen the faith of those who have come to know the Lord over the past 4 years. Please pray that God will provide wisdom and direction as we hope to start a Christian school, as well as expand the Bible Institute into a Bible college during this next term. We're also making plans to expand the production of printed materials in the Cambodian, Vietnamese, and English languages that will be used to win more souls as well as disciple new converts. By God's grace, we hope to see two more churches planted in the next 4 years, as well as begin an outreach to the English-speaking population of Phnom Penh. Beginning in June of 2015, we plan to begin helping train a group of national pastors in a neighboring communist country to more effectively lead underground churches in that nation. We praise God for His faithfulness in our lives and in the lives of those whom He has called us to reach. We're also grateful for your prayers and support, which make these life-changing ministries a reality. Here are the faces of just a few of those who have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior over the past 4 years. Truly, God has been good.
Lately I've been looking back upon this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed. dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He's done, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good.
Has God been good in your life? Amen. You know, as I was sitting there watching that, Pastor, I was reliving years ago when we came to your missions conference, and Dr. Sisk was the preacher. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was very, very strange, very unique. We played our video, and Dr. Sisk got up to preach immediately following the video, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit was so strong on the congregation, there were people weeping throughout the congregation. Dr. Sisk was standing up here going like this. He just stood there and looked at everybody. And he said, it's times like this, you wish you could just have an invitation and go home. He said, but we're not going to do it. I'm going to preach anyway. So but God has been good. Amen? And I hope we don't forget that. Now, we have about 15 minutes. Here's what I want to do. I want us to open up to Mark chapter 10. And I'd like to maybe share with you maybe one or two testimonies of lives that have been changed there in Cambodia. But you know, it's interesting, as our sister sang the special this evening, the first few words of the first line was something along the lines of, do you see the people crying out for hope? Y'all remember the special she just sang? Do you see the people crying out for hope? And the title of my challenge this evening is this: do you see people the way that Jesus sees people? Now, it's right here on my paper, so I didn't make that up just because she sang that special. Maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us something again tonight. So the question is this: do you and I see people the way that Jesus Christ sees people? Do we view people, do we value people the way that Christ values people? Here in Mark chapter 10, it's interesting. We see something that's very shocking. We see that the disciples, though they had walked with Jesus Christ for several years, though they had been trained and discipled one-on-one, and you think that they ought to have the same heartbeat that Jesus Christ had, we see that at a time when they should have been receiving the lost and enabling the lost to come to Jesus, they actually rebuked the lost and tried to drive them away. We're going to see that they rebuked, and as they rebuked, Jesus saw what they did. Jesus saw the way they were going to treat these children and these parents that were bringing their children for a blessing. And the Bible says that Jesus was displeased. Why was he displeased? He was displeased because his disciples were not viewing people the way that he viewed people. Let's look, Mark chapter 10. We'll start out with verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Can you say the word rebuked with me tonight? Rebuked. All right, I want to make sure you're awake, okay? The lights are so bright, I can't see anybody out there. I know people are out there, but, okay. They rebuked. Picture, we have parents, maybe grandparents, bringing these young children to Jesus Christ as they would regularly to any rabbi. They would. The culture then was such that they would bring young children to a rabbi and have a rabbi bless them, bless these young children. So these parents are bringing these children to Jesus Christ for a blessing. And you would think that these disciples would be just like you and I. Here at the church, we see new people come. Maybe you have a van ministry or a bus ministry or some other type of an outreach here. The gentleman mentioned putting flyers on doors. Maybe someone would come and visit the church. And you know the way we receive those people in the parking lot is very, very important. The way that we greet them and welcome them there in the lobby is very, very important. And Jesus Christ looks down from heaven, and I'm wondering this evening, does he see, when we look at people, does he see that we are treating people the way that he would treat people if he were the parking lot greeter? You know, sometimes just a simple handshake, squeeze on the shoulder, God bless you, I'm glad you're here, that could brighten someone's day. And you know, you and I here at Calvary Baptist Church, we need to make sure that we are viewing people the way that Jesus Christ viewed people. You know, when Jesus Christ saw these many, many, I picture hundreds of parents perhaps, hundreds of children lined up ready to come and get a blessing from Jesus, the disciples rebuking them, saying, get away. Jesus' heart was broken. Those disciples did not view those children as something or someone that would help the disciples with the disciples' agenda. I believe you read later on, we won't have time to discuss it this evening, but later on in that chapter, we see that James and John had a special request of Jesus Christ. They said, Jesus, we have a question. When you reign in the kingdom, will you allow one of us to sit on the left-hand side and one to sit on the right-hand side? And I believe when they looked at these children and these parents, they didn't see children and these parents as people who would help them to reach their agenda of being promoted. Let me say this evening. When people come to the church, they know if we really love them. They know if we care about them. If we're an adult Sunday school teacher, we're a staff member, we're a leader, they know if we love them for who they are, or if we love them, we want them here because we just want to fill up another seat. Now, I'm excited. I heard your preacher talking about this morning, your auditorium was packed for both services. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, how do those people feel when they leave here? Do they feel welcomed? Jesus looks down from heaven this evening. He's either very pleased with the way that we respond to people and their needs, or he's displeased. We see later on here in the passage that, of course, Jesus took the children and he rebuked the disciples and said, don't keep these children away, and he blessed the children. But we see another man, verse number 17, that came running to Jesus. Now, this man was somewhat different than the children. This man was a man of renown. He was educated. He had a great position in the city. Everybody knew him. He probably had money. Another passage says he was wealthy. This passage says he was wealthy. He was a ruler. This man comes running to Jesus. Let's see what happens. Verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, it's interesting to me that I see this man who's wealthy, who's religious, had a great upbringing, probably had a position in the community. He knew that there was something missing in his life. He knew he was not on his way to heaven. He knew he was on his way to hell. By the way, when people come to church or we meet them at the workplace or on the police department or the fire department, don't assume just because they've reached the American dream, they have a car, two cars, three cars, a house, a good job, expensive jewelry, don't assume that they have peace in their heart. Because the Bible says they don't have Jesus Christ, they don't have peace. We see this man here was educated. He had everything that you and I would want. But he was missing one thing, and he knew he was missing it. He was missing eternal life. And he comes and he asks Jesus, said, what shall I do? Now, that was his mistake right there. He thought there was something he had to do to earn salvation. But I'm thankful this evening that I'm not a missionary that has to go to Cambodia and say, listen, Cambodian people, You've been worshiping idols for years. Just keep doing it. Just keep working hard. Just keep trying to obey Buddhist law. If you do enough good, you'll get to heaven. I'm thankful I don't have to say that this evening. I'm thankful that you and I are not on our way to heaven because of anything that we do. It's all what Jesus did for us. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's why as Christians, we live to glorify God. And we're to grow together and we're to give back. I want to tell you a story about a lady in Cambodia. Her name is Grandma Lung. Grandma Lung. What's her name? Grandma Lung. Grandma Lung is 86 years old. Grandma Lung is from a village about 2 hours from Phnom Penh. And about 2 months ago or so, we met Grandma Lung. Here's how we met her. Some soul winners from our church in Phnom Penh regularly go to this village and began meeting this lady at her home and began preaching the gospel to her. And you know, it's an 86-year-old lady who has osteoporosis and she walks like this. She looked at our soul winner and she said she'd never heard that there's a God in heaven who created everything. She had no idea. She's believed for her entire life that she was the product of nature. And that some big bang happened millions and billions of years ago that resulted in some little tadpole crawling out of the mud and eventually became a monkey, and then boom, here she is. Can you imagine something as absurd as that? I wonder where that philosophy came from. America. They literally take American textbooks from the schools, translate them into Khmer, and teach them over there in Cambodia. She was shocked to hear that there is a creator God in heaven who made everything. You see, there in Cambodia, when we do soul winning, we don't necessarily start with the book of Romans. We start with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. And so Grandma was surprised to hear that there was a God who is all-powerful, who created everything, who knows everything, who is all-powerful. He loves us. He cares about us. And as our soul winner over several weeks presented the plan of salvation, this lady began to understand that she was a sinner in need of salvation. Now, you have to understand something about older ladies in Cambodia. They, if they're Buddhists, they're trapped into this, this belief system of doing good in order to have a good afterlife. They believe in reincarnation. In fact, they believe that Buddha was born 500 times, lived 500 different lives, and eventually gained enough merit to be able to cease to exist and enter what they call nirvana. If you heard the word nirvana, nirvana is not heaven. In some types of Buddhism, there is a heaven, there's a hell, but the ultimate goal is not heaven for Buddhists. So they believe if they make it to heaven, they'll be up there for a little while, and then they have to come back down to earth reincarnated. Their ultimate goal is to cease to exist, to get out of this suffering existence that we all live in. And that's Grandma's goal. But the problem is, in Buddhism, there's only two ways to enter nirvana. One is to be born as a young man, become a monk, and live in a temple, and serve as a monk your entire life, and then perhaps you have gained enough merit to cease to exist. Well, Grandma knew she wasn't a man, so that one's out. The second option, the only other way to enter nirvana, is to become a hermit. And to grow a big long beard, abandon everything, go live up in the mountains, you know, eat sticks and twigs, and just read Buddhist books all day and chant, and hopefully the powers that be will see that you're good enough and you can cease to exist. Well, she knew she's 86 years old. She hasn't become a hermit yet. She's tried to grow a beard and it didn't work out, so that one was out also. So her next best opportunity, next best chance, her hope, was that she could become a nun, live in the Buddhist temple, and serve the needs of the monks. Chant, do all the different rituals that she has to do, light incense, light candles, do all that stuff, hoping she would gain enough merit to be able to be reincarnated as a boy and then become a monk and then hopefully live a good enough life to be cease to exist. You imagine that? So at 86 years old, she hears that all this stuff is nonsense. Now, can you imagine someone asked me this morning, I think it was this morning, maybe last week, Brother Board, when you go soul winning in Cambodia, is it like a 10-minute presentation, or is it, they actually asked that. Is it like 15 minutes before people get saved? And I don't even know how to answer a question like that. By the way, that doesn't work here in America. But for sure, in a Buddhist country, 86 years old, first time she'd ever heard the name of Jesus, praise the Lord, she got saved. She got saved. You know, after she got saved, she looked at our soul winner, a man named Sinat. Sinat's about 47 years old. I led him to Christ 4 years ago. He was one of the men in that picture there. He has a great burden for this village. He goes there every week, twice a week, and does soul winning with some of our workers. And Sinat's the one who led this grandma to Christ. And she looked at Sinat and she said, she probably calls him nephew. Younger nephew, I no longer need this book. Would you please take it? I don't need it anymore. You got to understand, for many, many years, this book right here was her hope. This book has all the chants that she had to chant every day. It has all the different prayers that she had to chant. Her hope and her trust was in her being able to chant the words on this page, these pages. Every day, you can see it's well worn. Every day she would live by this book for many, many years. She got saved. Immediately she knew, I don't need this stuff anymore. And she gave it to Brother Sinat, and Brother Sinat brought it to Phnom Penh and gave it to me and said, Pastor, what do you want to do? You want to burn it? You want to tear it up and throw it? What do you want to do? He said, no, I'm going to take it. I'm going to bring it to America. I'm going to show Christians in America the power of the gospel. How is it that Grandma Long came to have the opportunity to hear the gospel? The Holy Spirit worked in her heart, drew her to the Father. She got saved. She realized that this is nonsense because of your giving and your prayers. Grandma Long is on her way to heaven today. She came to Phnom Penh. She got baptized. She lives 2 hours from our church. Now, we have a church in her village, so it's a very rare thing for me to see her in Phnom Penh. The last Sunday we were there, which was 2 weeks ago, Grandma was sitting right here in our Phnom Penh church, right in the front row. And I was shocked. I went over to her, and I kind of knelt down and said, Grandma, good to see you. I said, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to America. And we'll be here about 4.5 months, and then we'll be back. I said, but I'll be praying for you. And she said, Pastor, will you pray for me to have wisdom to understand God's word more? She said, I want to know God's word. Imagine that, 86 years old. She used to trust in this, the devil's book. And now she wants wisdom to be able to understand God's word. A few minutes later, I preached and the service was over. One of the men came up and told me, said, you know why Grandma's here this morning? I had no idea. He said, this past week, her adult children in the village, her adult children are probably in their 40s, maybe 50s, said, Mom, we need to talk to you. You've taken this religion thing, this foreigner's religion, a little bit too far. You're becoming an extremist, a radical. You're bringing shame to our family in the village. We're embarrassed to be associated with you. It's time to quit. And you have a choice. You have a choice to either return to Buddhism, which is where you know you're supposed to be, and reject this foreigner's religion, or we're going to kick you out of the house and you're on your own. Now imagine that. Imagine that in a Buddhist religion where one of the biggest sins in Buddhism is to disrespect your parents. But in the name of Buddhism, they're saying, Mom, you've got a choice. Go our way or hit the highway. Grandma looked at him and said, you know, when I trusted in Satan's book, I had no hope. I was on my way to hell. I had no hope of anything. People didn't care about me. Buddha couldn't help me. And now I know that Jesus Christ left heaven, became a man, died on the cross for my sins, rose from the dead, and promised me that if I trust in what he did on the cross, my sins are paid for. How could I turn my back on Jesus Christ? I will absolutely not turn my back on Jesus Christ. And you know what her adult children said? Then get out of the house. That's why she was in Phnom Penh. She had been thrown out of her house. You know, the pastor where we were this morning said, as he was saying some nice things about us, he said, you know, as mission, he told his church, he said, you know, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I certainly don't want to stand next to missionaries because I'm going to be ashamed when I stand next to missionaries. Let me tell you this evening, this missionary is going to be way, way, way behind people like Grandma Long and many, many, many other people there in Cambodia. Don't ever think that people there in Cambodia and third world countries that are poor, impoverished, don't ever think that they don't know as much about the Lord as we do. Once they get saved, they take a much stronger stand than most of us here in America do. I've never one time been threatened with my life. We have many people in our churches there in Cambodia who come from the Muslim culture, who have been threatened and beaten. And you saw one grandmother in the slides. She was wearing this head garb. Solid Christian lady. She's the village chief's mother. For months, people in the village stoned her house every night while she was trying to sleep, trying to scare her back to Islam. So what I want to say this evening is this. When you and I look at people, we would look at Grandma Lung and we would think, there's no way this old lady, 86 years old, could comprehend the gospel. But that's not the way that Jesus looks at her. Jesus looks at her as the reason why he left heaven. Now bringing it here, is Jesus pleased with us, the way we interact with people in our community? Or is he displeased? Sometimes we go about our ministries and we think it's maybe about the church. We think it's about pleasing the pastor or whatever. But ultimately, it's about glorifying God. That's what your motto is. And Jesus sees. By the way, the Bible says if you're serving with right motives, you're serving to glorify God, God is not an unjust God that he will not reward you someday. Remember that. If you pray for missions, and I hope you do, you give to missions, you support your ministries here, God is not unfaithful to forget your labor. And God will reward you. So the question as we close this evening is this. When Jesus Christ looks down at us, is he pleased or is he displeased? It's impossible to stand in the middle. He's either extremely pleased with us this evening as a church, as individuals, or he's displeased. You know, it's up to us. We have the truth. The world doesn't have the truth. The song said, when you see the people without hope, what are you going to do about it? And I hope this church here will continue to be a church that reaches their Jerusalem, Judea, the Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I promise you, we, on our end over there, we want to represent you well. We want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, but we're simply an extension of what you are here. What a shame it would be if we're loving people to Christ over there, but the churches here in America are dead, cold, complacent, happy just to sit in the pews and be comfortable, when people who are being led to Christ by your missionaries and extension of your church are being stoned, threatened, kicked out of their homes, disowned. We have a number of young adults whose name have been erased from the inheritance of their parents and said, you're no longer our son. You're no longer our daughter. Wow, what a terrible thing it would be if Jesus Christ would look down on us and say, well, you're putting money in the plate and you're showing up to all the services, but I'm just displeased with the way you're serving me here at home. Praise the Lord for the churches like this. Keep it up. Pray for your missionaries. Jesus looks at us, he's either pleased